Oh, John, you are the most well-read man we know. Truman Capote is better known as the author of Breakfast at Tiffany's and In Cold Blood. But A Christmas Memory tells a story from his own childhood in Monroeville, Alabama, where he lived for a while with his mother's relatives after his parents' divorce when he was 4. And then his friendship, age 7, with his 60-something-year-old cousin, Miss Sook Fock. Other people, he writes, inhabit the house. Relatives. And though they have power over us and frequently make us cry, we are not, on the whole, too much aware of them. We are each other's best friend. She calls me Buddy in memory of a boy who was formerly her best friend. The other Buddy died in the 1880s when she was still a child. She is still a child. But each November, when the air gets clear and cold, his friend announces, "It's fruitcake weather," and the two of them prepare to make 30 fruitcakes together. First, they collect windfall pecans, which is hard work, finding them among the concealing leaves, the frosted, deceiving grass, after the main crop has been shaken off and sold by the orchard's owners. And then they count the fruitcake fund, painstakingly earned and saved during the year, the pennies, dimes, nickels and quarters we keep hidden in an ancient bead purse, under a loose board, under the floor, under a chamber pot, under my friend's bed. The total is $12.73. Hopefully enough to buy cherries and citron, ginger and vanilla, and canned Hawaiian pineapple, rinds and raisins and walnuts and whiskey. It's the whiskey that's the biggest challenge. State laws forbid its sale, but everyone knows you can buy it from the Native American man, Mr. Ha Ha Jones, named so because he never laughs, who runs a sinful, to quote public opinion, fish fry and dancing cafe down by the river. As we approach the cafe, our steps slow down. People have been murdered in Ha Ha's cafe. I knock at the door. The door opens. A giant with a scarred face demands to know, "What do you want with Ha Ha?" "Please," says my friend in a whispery voice, "a quart of your finest whiskey." "But what's this?" Ha Ha is laughing at us. "Which one of you is a drinking man?" We explain it's for fruitcakes, for cooking, and he collects for us $2 worth of daisy yellow unlabeled liquor in a bottle. We pay him with our nickels and dimes and pennies. But as he jangles the coins in his hand, his face softens, and he pours the money back into our bead purse. "Tell you what," he says, "just send me one of those fruitcakes instead." "Well," my friend remarks on the way home, "there's a lovely man. We'll put an extra cup of raisins in his cake." And who are the cakes for? Friends. Not necessarily neighbour friends, persons we've met maybe once, perhaps not at all, like President Roosevelt, like the Reverend and Mrs. J.C. Lucy, Baptist missionaries to Borneo, who lectured here last winter, or the little knife grinder who comes through town twice a year, or Abner Packer, the driver of the 6 o'clock bus from Mobile, who exchanges waves with us every day as he passes in a dust cloud whoosh, or the young Whistons, a California couple whose car one afternoon broke down outside the house and who spent a pleasant hour chatting with us on the porch. A great diaspora of fruitcake recipients. It's a beautiful story, the Christmas memory, but it's also a sad one. And in it, I think Truman Capote does two things. He positions himself as a memory maker, looking back, heightening, brightening one of the rare, lonely, lovely moments in his bleak childhood. And with his retelling, shouts out, like our sentinels in Isaiah, to a world, to a future, where all people make preparations, where all people go to great effort to welcome and to share with one another. It's a similar process to what the Australian songwriter Paul Kelly does in his classic Christmas song, Making Gravy. There, the narrator, Joe, remembers past Christmases, the roast, the gathering relatives, the dodgy boyfriends, all the treasures and the trash, and looks forward to a Christmas where, praise the baby Jesus and have a Merry Christmas, he will kiss his kids on Christmas Day. He will hold his partner and dance with her. He will make the gravy. Sorry, it always makes me teary. And this is what is happening in our reading from Isaiah 62. Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, says the author, I have posted sentinels. Sentinels usually refers to prophets, the ones who tell God's message to the people. But these sentinels have a different role. They are mazkerim in Hebrew, the ones who remind the Lord. They tell the people's message to God. They are the memory makers, positioned in a time of economic injustice, where workers do not enjoy the fruit of their labor, of geopolitical tension, where walls and enmity have crushed the hopes of gates and highways. Does any of this sound familiar? And their role is to remember, to bring back together, to hold together God's promises of peace and justice and salvation, of remembrance, and to remind God of them, to shout incessantly, to take no rest, and to give him no rest until these promises are established. It's an unusual picture for God. A God who needs to be reminded. But it is also an oddly empowering picture of the relationship between God and God's people. Of a God who wants to be reminded, of a God who cares, of a God who is not simply omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, distant from us and our lives, but who listens to us, who wants to hear from us, who comes to be a helpless human being with us and for us. Therefore, the news of Jesus' birth comes first to shepherds, to those who most likely labored for others, to those whose profession kept them beyond the city walls, saying, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Not to the powerful or the privileged, but to you. Not exclusively to the family of David or to Mary and Joseph, but to you, to all of you, Christ the babe was born for you. And on seeing the child, what happens to the shepherds? They are transformed into sentinels, making known what has been told them about this child, telling others of God's promises of peace and justice and salvation. They are transformed into Mascarim, memory makers, remembering the promises and shouting them out to a future where all will see God's glory and know God's peace. And Mary too, what does she become? She becomes a memory maker, treasuring all these things in her heart, pondering them. This Christmas day and holiday season and year to come, as we make memories, let us also be memory makers, remembering God's promises of peace and justice and salvation, and reminding God of a world where presidents and knife grinders share the same fruitcake, where others do not labor for our luxury, where everyone can kiss their children and hold tightly to those they love, where barriers are torn down and highways built, for this child is a sign for us that God has listened, that God loves us, that God continues to listen, God continues to love. Praise the baby Jesus. Have a Merry Christmas. We are singing together Star Child.
No one wants to know this.
have a seat. Let's pray together. Loving God, the news headlines tell us nothing new, only an old story of war and lives devastated, of one more family wailing a funeral song. And yet, above, beyond, deeper than the headlines, we hear an older story, a story of your love, a story of your compassion, a story of your coming to us, and of prophets and angels and shepherds sharing good news of great joy for all people. Angel of Bethlehem, we long to hear your song again this day. We want good tidings for countries in crisis. We want good tidings for the men on Manus and the families left on Nauru. We want good tidings for terrorists whose actions spread fear and anguish. We want good tidings for our planet changed forever by climate change. We want good tidings for farmers who wait for rain and workers who wait for a living wage. We want good tidings for people suffering physical or mental illness. We want good tidings for all who grieve and who see no end to grieving. We want good tidings for children who long to inherit a country where peace has blossomed. Jesus, our Saviour, you have come to us as a sign that God has remembered us. May our lives too become signs of peace and justice and salvation, sharing God's news of great joy to all people. Amen.